Hello, 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 hello. It is 9 o'clock or a little bit after, and you have just jumped into the Red Room, and this is You Better Call Kim, your evening host for a nice, easy, laid-back, lighthearted discussion on mental health. Mental health. First, I want to open up the show by giving you our phone number. It is 214-717-4678, and that number is for you to call in and to participate in our conversation tonight. We want to hear from you, so if you're out and if you're on your phones listening, or if you're on Facebook or anywhere near your computers, Please jump in. This is a open forum, not just a one-way conversation. Want to also introduce none other than my father, my support, my go-to, Bishop Cleophas Pearson. He's by my side. He helps me out here, and I thank God for him every day. You want to say hi to the audience tonight, Dad?
Hello to the audience of this great ministry. We are grateful again to be back with you on this night. It's another day that the Lord have made, and certainly we have been rejoicing in it all day. And we just hope that you will be blessed in the message that we have to share with you today. Having any problem, don't forget to call Kim.
I love to hear that. Yeah, if you're feeling a little down and out, don't know what to do, and just need to get something off your chest, remember, you better call Kim. You can also learn more about You Better Call Kim at www.youbettercallkim.com. I'm going to say that a little slower. That is www.youbettercallkim.com. In the words of Madea, you better call Kim.com. So, as you see, I'm in kind of a little quirky mood tonight because I want to talk about something that is really dear and means a whole lot more, a whole lot to me, and that is support system. Support system. Our support system is something that we need and we want to really depend on, and we need to depend on. We need our support system. But I was, as I was preparing for tonight, I was really thinking about the time when I needed my support system, and what I learned during that time. And I want to share that with you all. So the first part of this evening is going to be a little bit about my history, me telling you about something that I went through, and then I'm also going to, again, open the phone lines, because as I kind of give you a little bit of feedback about me, I hope that this will kind of spark some ideas, spark some interest, some reflections from you, so that you too will feel compelled. You too will feel like you want to call in and participate in the conversation. So, just to let you know that many years ago, probably when I was in my late 30s, I got married to someone who end up being a crack cocaine addict. A lot of people don't know that about me, but yes, I too made the unfortunate mistake of marrying somebody who I didn't know very well, and I thought I did, thought I knew them well, but I didn't know them as well as I thought I did. And turns out that this gentleman was a abuser. He not only abused drugs, he also abused me. Was physically violent with me, and I spent many hours, many days, basically running for my life. Left Texas, went to Oklahoma. He followed me there. I came back to Dallas. So I was really, really in a major, major turmoil. I was really suffering and trying to figure out, you know, how do I get myself out of a situation that I got myself into. Mm-hmm. And during that time, I went into isolation because I didn't feel like I would receive the type of support that would that I could turn to without feeling judged. And so I went inward. I stayed in a relationship much too long because I didn't feel like the support that was around me would even understand. I didn't feel like my family would understand. I didn't feel like my friends would understand. And more importantly, I thought they would end up judging me, that they would end up judging me for being in this relationship. So I stayed in it way too long. And while I was there, you know, I have my dad here with me. I'm sure that there were times when he thought, oh my God, what in the world can I do? How do I help her get past this? Because I basically really lost my mind. Mm-hmm. I could not think well for myself. I could not begin to make any decisions that were going to be helping me and that were going to be available to ensure that I could get through it without self-harm. Kind of working with the mics right now. So as I went through this, now I want to tell you all that I can't say this was just me going through this by myself, because as I was going through this, I was taking my family with me through this as well. And they knew I needed some support, but I can honestly say that there were some in my family that knew how to support me, and then there were some who did not know how to support me. There were some who I felt turned their pain, you know, their struggles and their lack of understanding about what I was going through, they turned their idea about what I was going through into their own issue. And that's what tends to happen when we're trying to support someone who is going through something that, actually, we're trying to support somebody that we really genuinely care about. We unintentionally can unintentionally turn our pain into their pain, and unintentionally add a layer of our pain onto their pain. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that was a dangerous thing, because as I look back on that time, I was able to finally understand that there were times when it was easier for me, mm-hmm, to stay in that situation, because I couldn't carry their pain along with my pain. And so I ended up just saying, I'm going to deal with my pain. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And dealing with my pain caused me to stay in the relationship much, much longer than I needed to.
Yeah.
So, Dad, do you remember any of that?
very little in knowing what was going on. I guess I was so busy trying to provide the covering that a parent would provide that such would never occur. And with that, you feel that unless something get out of hand, visible or knowledgeable, you just don't detect it to that point. Because some of the things that a different one of you talk about in your life that I never dreamed of it occurring. Just knowing that through our lifestyle and practice, we had such confidence that everything was all right. Mm-hmm. And through that, we see the results today. But during the time it was happening, from my perspective, a lot of it I didn't see.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't know about it. But it's one of the assurance that gives me the confidence in social support, moral support, that how important it is to everybody to have some friends and be able to converse with and take over your anxieties and frustrations and be able to talk to somebody. Because the more you talk to someone else, the more you release what is disturbing you.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, on her, my daughter's case, today I just thank God that everything worked out all right. And we are able to look back now and see the result and try to help somebody else. So that's our goal and aim, is to reach out to people that are having mental problem or just social problems that you just can't hardly handle yourself. Helped you to turn the mirror on the inside and see that you have the strength and the will to make changes in you and accept the support from those that are around you who are willing to help you. But we just appreciate the opportunity to share that this day and time. We feel good about it because we know that we all are created to face problems, and we never know what the next day gonna bring. So, and we are helpers one to another. The longer I live, the more I realize that. And my next few years on planet Earth is to make sure that people get along with each other because we need one another.
Yeah, it was something you said there that really kind of struck me, is that during that time when I was going through my time of need or my, you know, moment of distress, how it was perceived by you and perhaps even by other family members, because, you know, perhaps that it was perceived that it wasn't as traumatic and wasn't as dire as it really was, and you know, and that actually comes from, again, lack of knowledge and lack of awareness about the danger of mental health issues.
Right.
And
right.
The danger of how, you know, we who are so used to just kind of living our lives in a certain way and going about it in a certain way and not really paying close attention to the different changes that each of us kind of face. It is something that we kind of bury and we push aside and we don't even think about, like, what do I do in this case? What do I, you know, because we're so busy working and just living our lives that when that person, especially in my situation, when I needed that kind of emergency support, that helicopter support.
Yeah.
It didn't seem to come in a way that perhaps we're learning today that it needs to happen.
Yes,
we're learning today that, you know, when someone is in a situation that they can no longer handle, or it appears that things are getting out of control, that, you know, there's this sense of urgency that we must take in order to support that person in the proper way.
Yes.
So just to move a little along on with the story here, that, you know, once I determined that I needed to just kind of go within, that's when the depression set in. That's when the self-destructive behaviors began to, I started to demonstrate that. And I tell you, people don't really like to be around you when you're not on your top game.
Right, right.
You're not on the top of your game. People don't like to be around you.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, they can even kind of be like, oh, you're just a downer.
Yeah.
But little do they know that they could be of more of a support to you when they are able to step, just take for a moment to step into your shoes and to see how they can support you, how they can just be there for you. I'm always reminded when I think about support systems, I always think about the part in the movie with Why Did I Get Married, or something like that. Why Did I Get Married, by Mud Deal guy. What's the guy name? The guy that's over, that does the Mud Deal stories. I'm so sorry, y'all. I can't remember his name. It's just going beyond my mind. Tyler Perry. Tyler Perry. That's it. Tyler Perry. Why Did I Get Married, or something like that. But anyway, there's this part in the story when Janet Jackson begins to realize some of the losses that she has, and her husband leaves, and her friends come over, and they do not say a word. They don't say a word. She's sitting on the staircase, and her friends come in, and they just sit with her, and they just sit with her. And the power of just that energy and the connectiveness within that moment is so huge. And that is, and it was unconditional. It was the type of response that said, you know, you need to say something to me, or I need you to talk to me. I need you to talk to me, which we hear a lot when we are talking to our friends, and when our friends are coming in and our family is coming in to provide us support during those deepest, darkest moments. You know, they come in and they say, I want you to talk to me. I want to, you know, tell me what's on your mind. That's not the thing to do. It is more the energy that you share within that moment. Your presence within that moment is more of a support to that individual than talking.
Sometimes that's true. That is so true. That is so true.
Yeah, talking. And what the talking, actually, when I felt, the way I felt when I was going through my situation was, when I was around other people who needed me to be someone who I wasn't within that moment, because I was going through such a horrible situation, I ended up, you know, feeling like I had to please them. I had to do something for them. And this was not, I couldn't just wallow in my own stuff. Because I had to somehow pull myself out of it so that I could help them. You know, I recently told someone who was going through some really difficult, who was trying to support, actually wanting to support a family member who was going through something difficult. I said to them, the worst thing that you could do is make this person feel responsible for your emotions.
Yeah.
When you're in a need of support, or you are the supporter, you're the one providing support, the worst thing you can do is make someone feel responsible for your emotions.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you may love that person. You may hate that that person is going through the things that they're going through. But that is not the time for you to come in with your stuff and dumping it on the person who's hurting or who's going through. If you don't, you know, the old saying says, if you don't know, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say nothing at all.
Right.
And the same thing goes for support.
Yeah.
If you don't have, if you can't be that supportive listening ear,
right,
that supportive listening energy,
yeah,
then don't do anything at all.
Right.
Because it becomes more harmful,
yeah,
for that person who is going through than it does help.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one thing that I definitely experienced during that time, was that, you know, a lot of times when I was like at the end of my rope and I wanted to give up and I wanted to throw in the towel and all I wanted was a shoulder to cry on, I felt like I could not do that because everyone was so used to me being okay. And you couple that with the lack of awareness of,
yeah,
my situation,
yeah,
there was also the lack of empathy,
mm-hmm,
for my situation.
Mm-hmm.
So those two things were prominent, and that actually, I just want the audience to really, really get this. If you don't get anything else tonight, I want you to get this, that if, when you are there to be a support to someone, you are there to just provide empathy and to be a listening ear.
Right.
You are to listen.
Right.
Not talk. Not give,
yes,
your opinion.
Yes.
You are not the authority on that person's situation. That,
yes,
person is living through it. And,
mm-hmm,
only that person can be the authority on,
yes,
their situation.
Yes.
A supportive person is there to listen and to walk through that situation with that person without judgment.
Yes, yes, that is so true. That is so true. Support is about supporting and not instructing. And it's not about taking the person's responsibility. It is supporting. And I think even the Bible teaches us that bear ye one another's burden. That this a thing that people maybe have not considered in their relationship, how much we mean,
mm-hmm,
to each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our life book tells us that we carry life that support each other,
mm-hmm,
and without each other, we all gonna fall. We,
mm-hmm,
neither of us can make it. Therefore, it is vital that a person realize that your strength, your mental health comes through relationship with others,
mm-hmm,
because we teach each other from our own personal life,
mm-hmm,
that what's good sometimes and what's bad, but it's just that system that we have to help in time of need, that I think society sometimes have just lost the,
mm-hmm,
recognition of.
Mm-hmm.
But it's out there. You don't have to go through your depression and your life challenges by yourself. You,
mm-hmm,
don't have to do that. It's somebody out there that will talk to you, and that can encourage you, at least to calm you down till,
mm-hmm,
you realize that I can release this, because,
mm-hmm,
the power to do that is in each of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we can do it once we get that support that we recognize is,
mm-hmm,
there to help me.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, last week we kind of talked about the mental health and the church.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hate to beat this horse, but it is just so important that I think that the church began to understand what its role is,
yes,
in assisting people with mental health or with these emotional challenges. I don't want to make it seem like mental health is so close to mental illness that,
yes,
you know, we can't divide it up.
Right.
But when every single one of us gets challenged emotionally at least once a week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're not gonna. It is very rare, and if you're a person that can spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without any emotional disturbance, my hat's off to you. You living a good life.
Mm-hmm.
You are living a wonderful life.
Yeah.
But the majority of us are living a life that is causing us to have some kind of emotional challenge. We have a call today. Hey, who's on the call? Hello? Well, they hung up, so I guess they were calling another number. But I think it's important for us to recognize our role as supporters.
Mm-hmm.
As supporters, because I think all of us wake up every morning wanting to be that person to brighten someone else's day.
Mm-hmm.
I just believe in the good in people. That's just who I am, you know. I'm not that pessimistic that I think everybody wakes up all grumpy and upset with no. I believe that everybody wakes up
every day.
Hoping and looking for an opportunity to be good to somebody, to share something good with somebody. The only thing that stops us from doing that is life.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, as soon as you start breathing, life takes over.
Yes.
Life takes over. And then there goes the whole idea of providing support. But in our subconscious mind, beneath the breath of us, in our soul, God gives us the capacity to support one another. I mean, I think I can have a little proof to that, because we're social beings. God made us as social beings.
Oh, sure.
We cannot live on this earth by ourselves.
Right.
We feel absolutely miserable when we're left alone by ourselves, and
right.
We become depressed. Some of us, we can't survive that. As you know, life just goes really, really bad for us.
Mm-hmm.
So just biologically, just innate, we are born to be supportive people to one another.
Right.
The only thing that gets in the way is life.
Right.
Life gets in the way of us being supportive.
Yes. Yes.
But for those of us who are out there and who is really, really on a mission, who's on a mission to, just as I am, to increase mental health among our people, I want you all to really consider this idea of support.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we go about supporting one another.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the next thing I wanted to talk about was when you are providing support to someone, you know, what do you do? How do you do that? How
mm-hmm.
can you provide support? How can I? You know, when it's somebody that I love and I'm watching them go down a bad, dark, horrible road, how do I support them?
Mm-hmm.
First, you know, you have to start by being honest with yourself.
Yes.
I think you have to start with being honest with yourself. There's a theory, there's a term we use in counseling, and it's called counter-transference.
Mm-hmm.
And it is basically means that whatever I'm feeling, whatever I believe, whatever I think, I'm going to transfer that to the people I'm trying to help. Now, it is a part of a therapeutic process that our clients transfer their emotions to us, because how are we going to be able to help them if I can't feel you? How am I going to be able to understand you if I can't really connect with what you're saying? So it is good to be able to receive that from the people that you're trying to help.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're the one who is trying to help, it is not good for you to transfer what you're feeling onto that person.
Mm-hmm.
But the only way you know that is that you know yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That you know what you're feeling, that you're in touch with your own emotions.
That's
and you realize,
yeah.
you realize when you're about to,
yes.
when your emotions are
yes.
not checked.
Yes.
And so it's important for you to do your own work before you can start helping somebody else.
Yeah, it's a work on each side there that has to come together in the support of anyone who is suffering some kind of depression, mental effect, and so that you can be on one accord. And I've always saw it from what I've read about and what you have brought to the table lately, that your help really start within you in knowing that you need help and are willing to seek something for yourself, because of external feed in to you don't always change you. The change has to come from the inside, and I noticed that most people that I've listened to and followed their procedure always try to get in the individual to kind of turn the mirror on internally and first to know that you are somebody that's worth your concern, and not let yourself just be wasted or be vulnerable to whatever situation you're in, because you're the one that's got to live it. And so once a person is able to envision from within that they are somebody that is worth saving and helping, and not being vulnerable to their challenge, and it puts them in a position to hear and receive, and it puts the person that's helping to be cautious about giving. Make sure that you don't load that person with anything that will deter their conscience towards them helping themselves. That's vital in to me in dealing with issues. So I know my personal experience is that we used to try to instruct people before we find out where the person is in their situation, and we're never able to help them to get out of it. But we've learned differently from that in these last days. But I always think of this term as self-help. You know, when a person is willing to help themselves, then they can receive help and realize the benefit of it. And the person that is ministering help support would realize that they play a role in listening and being patient and sympathetic, and not putting the person in worse shape than what they're in. So it's a two-way communication here that is so vital that it's always good to just learn how to communicate it and work with it.
Yeah, that's really good feedback here. As you were speaking, I was kind of thinking about, I always say kind of, I was thinking about one of the humanistic theorists in counseling, and this gentleman is named Carl Rogers, and he is the father of person-centered counseling. And person-centered counseling is one where the person is the center of the counseling experience.
Right.
And Carl Rogers is one that believes that it is the relationship between the helper and the person needing help that creates the conditions for change.
Right.
And so he offers three different types of conditions that should exist from the counselor position, or from the helper's position.
Right.
And one of those, the first one is unconditional regard.
Right.
Not unconditional love or unconditional respect.
Right.
Just simple unconditional regard.
Regard.
You know, I will regard whatever you're saying, whatever you're going through unconditionally.
Right.
I'm not going to put myself on you. I'm not going to force you to give me more than you want to give. Wherever you are, whatever you're going through, we're going to do it, and we're going to sit here together, and we're going to talk together, and I am going to accept what you say to me without putting conditions on it.
Right.
Now, that's huge because, you know, that kind of conflicts with that whole mental health and the church, because sometimes I wonder if the church have a lot of conditions that kind of doesn't allow people to provide that kind of a counseling experience where it is unconditional. Do you think that's possible, Dad?
Well, it can be. It can be for the lack of knowledge. Spiritual health and mental health combines together and makes you whole, makes you a solid person. I was intending to ask you to explain the mental health different from that post-traumatic
mental illness.
Mental illness.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I can do that.
It's a different method that you use to deal with each one of them. And I thought if you may would explain the difference in the two, then we might be able to give some social
context.
Help, as well as some spiritual.
Yeah. Okay, so I can do that. So mental illness is when there is some diagnosis that requires medication. There is a diagnosis where there is absence of reality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're psychotic. You are no longer in control.
Yes. Okay.
That's when it becomes an illness.
Yeah.
You're no longer in control. Your body, your mind is doing something that it is doing without you telling it to, without your control. And that's where you see things like borderline personality, schizophrenia, severe depression, severe depression, and you know, all those mental illnesses that are debilitating. That's on the very far spectrum of, it's not far because it's real, but that is on I would say for this conversation, a very far spectrum of mental health. It is on the other, like the left side of mental health. So on the other side are your emotional challenges. And those could be challenges from lifestyle changes. You know, you lose your job. And that becomes emotionally challenging for you. You're still in control. You still can, you know, you still have your faculties. You can still tell the brain, don't do this, do that, or what have you. Or you still make choices. But it is so emotionally challenging for you that you just don't feel like it. So, you know, you also have anxiety. Anxiety can be debilitating, but for the most part, anxiety is something that is triggered through a physical response, like heart palpitations. Your heart starts beating faster, or you know, you start kind of breathing hard, or something. You know, you just have some kind of trigger, some kind of physical trigger that is occurring because of anxiety, because of a high level of anxiety. Anxiety typically comes when there's a lot of pressure, when there is some unforeseen expectations that you are anticipating, and it causes you to be unsettled. That's kind of an emotional challenge. Those emotional things, you know, you don't necessarily have to have any medication for it, because it's driven from a place of thought. It's driven from something that you're thinking, some reasoning that you have that has gotten off kilter. Mm-hmm. And so you have to kind of put that back, put things into perspective, so that the thoughts that you're having are serving you again.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's really easy for those of us, for anybody, everybody and anybody, to collect a thought that defeats them.
Mm-hmm.
I myself, just for the sake of the conversation, I myself am what you call a rational emotive behavior therapist.
Mm-hmm.
I deal with belief systems. I deal with people, how people think,
yes,
and what they believe about what they think,
yes,
and how those belief systems that they have causes consequences,
right,
and
right,
in their it creates behaviors that,
yes,
cause consequences.
Yes. Yes.
So if you think that you're ugly, you're gonna act like you're ugly, and you ain't gonna never have anything that's gonna, you know, be beautiful around you, because you're it's like a self you're creating ugly around you,
mm-hmm,
because of the belief that you have. You know, sometimes I may believe that, I mean, I'm afraid of rats,
uh-huh,
terrified of rats.
Okay.
I believe that a rat might crawl on my leg. I don't know what he's going to do when he get on my leg, but just the belief that I have that a rat would crawl on my leg,
uh-huh,
terrifies me.
Mm-hmm.
And I will leave a house.
Mm-hmm.
I will leave and shut the door and don't go back. If I know that a rat is in the house,
yeah,
I won't come back until I know that the rat is gone. I'm,
mm-hmm,
terrified.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality of that is, that rat ain't thinking about, that rat is scared of me just like I'm scared of him.
Right.
And that rat's going to try to stay as far away from me,
yeah,
as I'm going to,
yeah,
stay far away from it.
Yes.
And so that is if I was in therapy for that, which I probably need to do, but,
mm-hmm,
if I was in therapy for that,
mm-hmm,
I would probably work with someone who could help me change that belief system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that would,
yeah,
be an emotional, yeah, response that I would need to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the difference between emotional, mental health and,
mm-hmm,
emotional challenges,
mm-hmm,
and mental illness. Also, emotional health, as I said in our very first show, emotional health is just as important as physical health.
Right, right.
Just as we go to the doctors and we go to the gym and we work out our muscles and we work,
right,
out our heart and we get on the treadmill and we do things to try to preserve our body,
right, right,
we have to do things to preserve our mind.
Right.
That includes listening to healthy things and not things that are going to disturb us.
Right.
Having healthy relationships and,
right,
not relationships that are,
right,
going to disturb us. Having healthy friends and healthy people around,
right,
us.
Right.
Experiencing healthy things.
Yes.
Things,
yes,
that are going to promote us. That's going to instill life in,
mm-hmm,
us. That's going to, you know, cause us to want to be better, want to do better,
mm-hmm,
want to think better. That's emotionally healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as you see, I'm very passionate about this.
Yes.
This,
yes,
is my passion. I could talk about that all day. But that is the challenge. And you know what? You can't get to that sometimes without support.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You have to have sometimes, many, many times, as I mentioned in my story, I found myself in a relationship that was unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't go so far over to mental illness,
mm-hmm,
where I couldn't make choices, where I was, you know, somewhere just pulling my hair out, you,
mm-hmm,
know, not knowing that not knowing, you know, if I was where I was at any given time. I had my faculties intact.
Mm-hmm.
I was just in a very bad situation, didn't know what to do about it. And I went inward. And I mentioned in my show about depression, depression is anger turned inward.
Yes, yes.
So as I was going through my situation, being in this marriage with an abuser, somebody that was gonna, you know, beat on me every night, I went inward. I became depressed. I isolated myself, mm-hmm. and therefore I did not have any support,
mm-hmm.
and that then became emotionally challenging. I couldn't work. I couldn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
I did have, I want to say this because I think this is important. I had one friend who did everything that I'm saying to do tonight, because, and I don't think she realized what she was doing, and she would come and pick me up and just take me to dinner,
mm-hmm.
just basically to remind me of what my life used to be. What my life was before I had, you know, I got into that situation.
Yeah, yeah.
And later, once I got out of it, I asked her, I said, how did I act? I don't even remember some of those. She said, Kim, sometimes you just act like you were numb.
Mm-hmm.
And that was okay, because I was going to be there to catch you. And I think that was so, so important in how we were, how we look at this, and we how we look at this and how we go about helping people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, listen, I want to take a break because it is time for us to run a few commercials. I've been talking a lot because this is a very passionate thing for me. As you see, this is a part of my story, and this is what has actually brought me to counseling. Later on in the next hour, I want to talk about how we can turn our pain into our passion, and how, as a support person, that's how we bring people out of these emotional, mental health challenges mm-hmm. that we face.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we're going to have some commercials here. Remember the phone number here. I haven't heard from anybody. I had a hang-up caller, but the lines are open, and that number is 214-717-4678. And this is your girl Kim on You Better Call Kim.
Deborah Spencer, host of The Deborah Spencer Show. Catch her show every Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. On my show, you'll hear relevant, powerful, impactful information on today's community. You will also hear segments on our special needs community, because we believe that everyone needs to be aware, there needs to be action, and there needs to be understanding. So tune in every Thursday to The Deborah Spencer Show from 5 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time.
On Fishbowl RadioNetwork.com. Jump in.
Back in my day, we advertised like men. Get up on the rooftop and use what we called lung tire.
Come and get in!
Nowadays, they got what's called the internet. It goes worldwide. And on this internet is what's called FishbowlRadio.com, a network of over 100 personality-driven radio shows. Now that's a lot of lung power. Sounds like a good way to get the word out about your business. Call them, 817-633-4880, and jump in!
It could happen at any time. If you were affected by the hailstorms this year, a collision could bring you and your family to a halt from getting your vehicle repaired for free. We're here to help. Let us get your hail damage done with no hassle, no time off work, and no time away from your family. It's a free service, so take advantage today. Give us a call at 469-774-4498, 469-774-4498, or visit us at AutoHailConsulting.com today.
Introducing the Ferrero Rocher cupcakes loaded with luscious layers of sweet goodness, coated over dark chocolate cake, made with the freshest and finest ingredients to make you say, holy cupcake. Voted top 3 cupcakes in the DFW area. Wondering where you can get these sweet chocolatey goodies? Where else but Lay Cupcake and Treats? Call us now, 682-999-8276. That's 682-999-8276. Cupcakes, or visit us on our Facebook and Instagram at Lay Cupcake and Treats, where we make life sweeter.
Catering and Event Productions is a full-service catering and special events company that delivers a fresh, fun, and interactive experience. Led by Fernando J. Asensio, Haas Catering and Event Production combines a superb taste, unique presentation, and interactive services to create unforgettable events and memorable experiences. Their passion for food and avant-garde thinking sets them apart and has won them awards and recognition, along with the trust of their clients, from which they cater to on a regular basis. Visit www.tosscatering.com today. Toss Catering and Event Production creates the best experience for all your catering needs.
Customize your gear today with Ochuck. Ochuck provides top-of-the-line printing for all of your merchandising needs. From custom Chuck Taylors to t-shirts, sweatshirts, and even lanyards, they customize it all. Visit them at the Parks Mall in Arlington, Texas, or at www.ochuck.com. That's O-H-C-H-U-C-K.com. Create a custom experience today with Ochuck. You think it, they'll ink it.
This is Kimberly, and it's a little bit after 10 o'clock, and we have about an hour left in the show, and just got a text saying that when I went off the show a few minutes ago, I didn't finish my tagline, so I want to do it right. Can I do it right? All right. As I was saying before, remember, you better call Kim. I love my text. I love people who call me and let me know when I need to correct something, because I don't know what's going on your end. I know what's going on here in the studio, but I can't hear myself on the other end. So thank you, Ira, for texting me and letting me know. So as I was talking before we left the show here, the commercial break, I wanted to talk about the three things that create a good helping relationship. And we kind of got a little bit off, but it was necessary because I think it's important for people who are listening to understand the difference between mental illness and mental health. And so if you have any questions, you know, shoot me an email, hit me up on Facebook. I can always clarify it for you and give you a little bit of feedback on that. You can always go to my website, www.youbettercallkim.com. Again, that's www.youbettercallkim.com. And I will respond and you know, talk to you and see what I can do to make sure I make that clear for you. But the second thing that Carl Rogers talks about in providing this therapeutic, this helping relationship, is empathy.
Empathy, yes.
Empathy. And he defines empathy basically as the ability to have one foot in the person's shoe, have one foot in the problem of the person you're helping, while at the same time keeping one foot on your side.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's not becoming so consumed with the other person's issues where you yourself are no longer able to make, you know, good judgment.
Right.
You know, you don't want to try to help somebody and they start crying.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, you're sitting there crying too.
Right.
I'm sorry. If you find yourself in that position, you're not helping, babe. I'm sorry. You're not helping, boo. You're doing the best you can, but that's not helping.
Right.
So you want to be able to listen to someone and empathize with them and understand with them and feel what they're saying,
mm-hmm.
and opening up your heart so that you can feel it in a emotional way.
Right.
You can feel their pain when a person is sitting across from you and they're talking about some traumatic event that they're having, or they're telling you about the job that they loved,
right,
that they just lost. And they now are not able to pay their bills, and they're concerned that they can't feed their children.
Mm-hmm.
They're not emotionally ill.
No.
That's not it.
Right.
They're emotionally challenged because that kind of situation can stop you,
right,
from doing anything. It can,
yeah,
stop you from making any decision. And so, you know, as the helper, it is our job to be able to hear that with compassion.
Right. Okay.
And not with, you need to do this, or you should have done this, or,
mm-hmm,
you know, that's not the way. I'm,
yeah,
telling you, that's not the way.
Mm-hmm.
Because those shoulda, you ought to, all those things are conditions.
Yes, yes. Yes.
They are conditions. That is saying to the other person that you haven't done something that you were supposed to do. And nobody wants to feel that in the middle of their pain.
That's right.
They don't want to feel that. That's,
no.
They
right.
I assure anyone, assure you, that they are beating themselves up more than
right.
you could even imagine.
Right.
And so those type of responses are not healthy, and
no.
they're not helping.
Right.
They actually are hurting the person, because that person goes back home into their own private time and they listen, and that record that you just played for them of what they should have done and how they could have done it and everything that they're not and
yeah.
how they failed at it, all those records get played in their head over and over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Then they start to turn that emotion inward and they become depressed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
mm-hmm.
at times we do cause depression in other people.
Yes, yes, yes.
We are the reasons why other people get depressed.
Yes, that is so true. And that reason, I think about the language has a lot to do with how a person responds. When we use that emotion, when I think about a person becoming emotionally disturbed, there's a reason. And somewhere in between your emotion being disturbed and the reason ought to be analyzed, or you ought to see the point in a decision. It is somewhere in there that you make that decision, because you are moved to act or to respond. But if you know that's a reason, then you can balance your action to the best that it, where it helps you instead of harming you. It can be positive or it can be negative. And I thought of that a few days ago when I was, this was another subject, and I won't try to talk about that one, but it's how we respond to our ego. And I'll just leave that there for the next time.
Ah, that's good, because I'm actually in a class now, an advanced theory, and we've been talking about the ego, the superego, and the id.
Yeah.
So we're gonna investigate that one later. But as you were talking, I just had a thought to come in that about making, when you said make it, we have to make that decision to do, what
the
was
positive.
It?
Be, make a decision for the most positive.
That's what it is.
That's what it is. Mm-hmm. That we get out of it. So you have that opportunity in between your
mm-hmm.
emotion and the reason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In response to that, yeah, I wanted to kind of make this point because you just triggered something for me, and that is when we are helping someone, we want to build from a place of strength.
Right, right.
We want to build from a place of strength in that person, not from a place of weakness.
Right.
And so when we're helping them, we as the helpers find that space where that person is doing good,
yes,
where that person is overcoming,
yes,
where something that you can tie into,
right,
where there is positive energy.
Right, right.
And so sometimes, you know, it may be they have cried all day, but then when they come into that space with you, they're able to smile.
Right.
That's when you zoom in and say, wow, that smile was great.
Yeah,
I love it when you smile.
Yeah.
That's when we provide that unconditional support to someone by building them up from that place of strength.
Mm-hmm.
And 'cause it's real easy. I tell you, it is so easy to find fault.
It is so easy to
look at the negative. But I promise you, it is just as easy to find
the positive
side in what a person is experiencing and how they are experiencing it. You could say, and we hear this all the time in the church, I could have lost my mind. I could have lost my mind. That's a place of strength. Because, and it's a very positive way of seeing a difficult situation. I could have went under. But I didn't. Even just that small bit of hope, that small bit of positivity can really keep you from going from mental health to mental illness. That small bit does. So I think that, thank you that, because that really kind of triggered that thought for me, that we really, in addition to these three conditions that Carl Rogers talk about, we also want to remember that we don't want to be hurtful to someone and trying to help them by focusing on the negative stuff.
Right.
You know, even if they're focusing on the negative, you can sit quietly and listen to them focus on the negative, and you can then bring in a positive
as
it begins to fold out.
Yes.
And, you know, you can say, oh, well, you know, it's really great that you made it through that.
Right.
You can say, hey, how did you make it
past
all of that? How are you? You are doing wonderful to be able to go through all of that and still mm-hmm. get up and put your clothes on.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're sad.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. That's just a little nugget for you all to carry on with you.
Yeah.
Because as I said earlier, I think we all wake up every morning wanting to be this person for somebody, wanting to be a helpful person
mm-hmm.
for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know how.
Mm-hmm.
We get,
mm-hmm.
because life gets in the way.
Yes.
It gets in the way, and then we get caught up in our own stuff, and we do what we, as I mentioned earlier, kind of, we transfer our own stuff onto somebody else.
Oh, yes.
And they going through enough, and then we force them to go inward, and they go into isolation, isolation leads to depression, because depression is anger turned inward. Okay, so there is empathy, being able to empathize with someone.
Yes.
And the last but not least is exactly what I've been talking about, transference. Transferring your energy into somebody else.
Yes.
Transferring your stuff over onto somebody else.
But you know, we carry that delivery package every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I say it all the time now, we don't see how much we are delivering into someone else
mm-hmm.
just by being in the environment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to say anything. If we can create a good,
mm-hmm.
pleasant environment, mm-hmm. we're going to go away with good energy.
Yes.
Vice versa.
Yes.
If we create animosity, envious, we're going to go away mad.
Mm-hmm.
So when
mm-hmm.
you just think about your everyday activity, you are challenged to produce good energy and ways and means in, through your character,
mm-hmm.
Whatever you do,
mm-hmm.
you are demonstrating that. And if a person recognize that every day, that you know that you got to make some kind of decision from your emotion. And when you do that, you're going to always think about doing it the best way, the most positive way, because that's what's going to return the best for you.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. I think that thing that we also must be, as you were talking about, being able to keep things positive.
Keep it positive.
Keep it positive. Yes. And that's just, I got to be honest, Dad, that's, even saying that, it seems hard.
Well, it's not when you consider the benefit.
Good, yeah.
Yeah, when you consider the consequences.
That's good.
If you don't want the emotional pressure that you get from the negative,
mm-hmm.
there's always a positive
mm-hmm.
that you can release that.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
it may not feel good at the time,
mm-hmm.
but the outcome of it
mm-hmm.
is what you look at. It's going to benefit you better by doing it right this time. Although you may not feel good about it, but the consequences of it, you're going to feel good.
So over a period of time, it'll take. Over a period of time, it'll take. And you know what? You're right. You got to think about the benefit, because staying in that dark place cannot be an option.
Mm-mm.
Leaving your friends in that dark place cannot be an option.
Can't be an option.
Allowing, you know, watching your family members suffer and not trying to do something in a positive way cannot be an option.
It cannot be an option.
So, you know, I think this is so important. Again, I think it's so important for us to really look at this in its totality, you know, look at this from all angles, and not just, okay, I'm just going to go over here. My friend is feeling bad. I'm going to go over here and cook us some food.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to go over here and I don't even what you said earlier. I'm just going to close my eyes and not even see it because I'm too busy doing what I need to do. Mm-hmm. Or in terms of the church, I just believe so wholeheartedly on what I believe that anything opposite of what I believe is of the devil, and therefore I'm not going to touch you, I'm not going to deal with you and your problems or any of that.
Right,
so
right.
All of these things are no longer an option.
That's right.
They're no longer an option. We can't stay in that space any longer. As we see, you know, we're not, a lot of people are going from mental health to mental illness.
Yeah, that's true.
Because of lack of support.
Right.
And that's when we look on the news and we see all these different things happening to people that we see every day. People that look normal.
That's
people that
right.
look like
that's
us.
Right. That's right.
People that was acting like us
yes.
2 days ago.
Yes.
When we see that kind of stuff happening more often than not, to the extent that it becomes our normal,
mm-hmm.
that is a huge sign that what we're doing has to change.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and the
mm-hmm.
way we are approaching
mm-hmm.
our support toward one another
right.
has to change.
Yes.
And so there are ways, you know, as counselors, there's more counselors. I don't know if it's just because I've gone into counseling.
Yes.
Just seem like I'm surrounded by counselors now. But it just feels like there are more people that are understanding this,
mm-hmm.
that live within the African American community, the
mm-hmm.
Latino community, the Hispanic community. There are more of us that are going in, that are coming out of these underserved communities, that are now recognizing that this need for support toward each other is
mm-hmm.
necessary.
Oh yes.
And there are proper ways to do it.
Yes.
There's a good way to do
yes,
it. There's a
yes.
there's a way to do it that is going to bring healing and wholeness to
yes.
people. And so as I was saying, talking about transference, I don't want to leave that because transference is huge.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big problem.
Yes.
It's
yes.
a big problem. It's a big problem not only within our families. It's a big problem within our communities.
Oh, yes.
It's a big problem within our churches. It's a big problem in our nation.
Mm-hmm.
It just seemed like everybody want to transfer their own stuff onto somebody
mm-hmm.
else.
Mm-hmm.
Their own values, their own ideas, what they think ought to be, what they think should be,
mm-hmm.
how they think it ought to be.
Mm-hmm.
And they get so frustrated because don't nobody else understand that they have the right answer
mm-hmm.
and that they are the experts of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And they are the experts of everything. And they are really causing misery.
They're
causing misery. And so I just want us to take a moment, just kind of give me this little space right here, for us to take a step back and to look at this thing called transference.
Mm-hmm.
I was asked today to work with someone who was coming to the clinic, and they were in a situation that I know Kim by herself would not deal with it.
Okay.
You know, it was a situation that this person was involved, and I try to keep people's information confidential, so that's the reason why I'm vague about trying to put out too much information. But let's just say the information that they brought to me and said this person was presented with this problem,
mm-hmm.
I was saying, man, I don't know how I'm going to help them, because if that person want to stay in that situation,
yes.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to help that. I'm afraid I'm going to say, you
yes.
need to run.
Yes.
You need to go.
Yes. Yes.
But as I was saying this and I was kind of processing this with one of the other counselors, I thought about transference.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to myself, you know what? That person has to walk their own walk.
Yes, right.
They have to have their own journey.
Right.
They have to experience things in a way that they can understand
right,
it.
Right.
And so, good, bad, or indifferent, my role is not to go in and to tell this person what they should or shouldn't do,
right.
Because I may very well be keeping that person from a lesson that they must learn. And so I had to take a step back and deal with my own stuff by myself.
Yes.
So that when I did go into this helping setting, this helping situation where my role is to be a helper.
Right.
I had to go into it with a clean slate from Kim. I had to clean my whiteboard.
Yes.
Get an eraser and clean my whiteboard and say, this ain't your issue.
Yes.
This ain't your stuff.
Yes.
You got your goal, your issue. What you have to do is go in and find out what this person want to accomplish with that situation and help them accomplish that situation.
That's it.
And so, you know, I want to talk about, I'm going to bring up something a little controversial. So if y'all listening tonight, buckle up because this one's going to be good. The LGBT community. The lesbian, gay, what is it? Lesbian, gay, queer, trans. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans. Lesbian, LGBT. Y'all, I know I'm country. Y'all, I'm trying to put it together.
Yeah.
But that community. And so one thing that I've learned is that the community, that those that are faced with that type of lifestyle and the emotional challenges that come with that, they feel totally left alone. Totally isolated, completely pushed away, and everything that I have just described here, feeling, having unconditional regard, having empathy, and no transference, those things happen to them all the time.
All the time.
And so that within itself pushes them back from even coming out or from them seeking the right kind of services that they need. Now, see, I'm a firm believer that the God needs to stay open to everybody. People need to be able to receive God. I'm sorry, but I'm going to let God deal with their morality. That ain't my job. But I need to make sure that if God going to change them, that the house is open for God to change them. That's just my belief.
Yeah.
That's just that's my personal belief.
Yeah.
If God going to work on it, the house needs to stay open for them to come on in and let God work on it.
Yeah.
But that's my personal belief. That ain't what the show is about.
Yeah.
My show is about support.
Yeah.
And so providing support to that community feels totally unsupported. You know, so I'm asked quite often as a Christian counselor, Kim, what would you do if you found, if someone who is in the LGBT community comes into a counseling session with you, and, you know, how would you be conflicted with counseling them? And my answer is no, I wouldn't be conflicted. First of all, I can't transfer my stuff onto them. What I would say is they need to find a community that's going to support them.
That's right.
That's basically what I would say.
That's right.
I wouldn't be upset with it. I wouldn't be like, oh my God, you got to die.
No.
I wouldn't be upset about it. I'd just say, you know, there are communities that are very accepting and open and supportive.
Yes.
I think you need to find a community that's going to support you. Because support is that important. It is that important to a person's ability to live. I wouldn't want anybody to come after me. I'm walking down the street and they coming down with a machete trying to kill me because nobody supported them. Yeah, I'm going to tell them to go find some help.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've come to realize that right now in the Christian community, have more to deal with within their own faith realm to maintain the biblical standard for the Christian life than to allow the transgenders to affect us in our walk. That's a lifestyle that they choose us, and if we stand on the grounds that we believe among ourselves to the point that our unity and faith would affect that particular lifestyle. But with us having so much division and indifferences, that we are arguing over things that we need to be straightening out and cleaning up and looking at them. Mm. So I say, you know, I say that God's going to handle that in his due time.
Mm.
We owe it to ourselves to be what we say we are, instead of trying to blame somebody else or look at the negative side of someone else. That's the way I've grown to see God, because I hear the word of the Lord say, all souls are mine.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, but the soul that sinned is the one that's going to die. That's going to be lost.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means that anybody who failed to accept and the true plan of the Lord God of creation will be lost.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the spiritual side of the human life that controls the whole demeanor of individual lifestyle. But the social, mental effect of our lives, it is affected by our environment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we are dealing with. How to keep yourself mentally, physically sufficient.
Yeah.
Because how you think, this is just another mental phrase that come from the mental doctrine, that how you think about yourself is how you going to yield to yourself.
Yeah.
And if you think good, you will
treat
yourself good.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just learning how to take the words that we use to communicate with each other and make sense out of them.
Mm-hmm.
And make a helpful, positive move towards. Did I have to cut mine off? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. All right.
Yeah, well, I think that's good. You know what? I hope we didn't lose any of our audience with that little conversation, because I know that's a little controversial. But I just think it's necessary for us to have these conversations, because they are in our community. They are a part of us. And we can't continue to turn a blind eye to it, because people are suffering, people are hurting, and they are slowly moving from mentally healthy to mental illness. And you know, I just can't help but think about can't remember his name, sorry, the young man that killed the five police officers, and how his family tried to get him help, and it just seemed like that there was no safety net for him. But I am 100% sure that if a community of people got together and we start to address these issues that we are facing within our community, we do it collectively. We come together to come up with a plan for addressing mental health issues within our community. I honestly think we will see a drop in crime.
Sure.
We will see a drop in teen pregnancy. We will see families stand together longer. Mm-hmm. We will see a stronger community. This is God's plan. Remember, we are social beings. He made us like this. He created us like this. we're not isolators. There, you know, we can't live on an island by ourselves.
Right.
We need one another.
Yes.
And so it is His design for us to work together in order to make life work, in order to make the world work.
Right.
Now, with that said, let's be clear. It is also the work of Satan to divide us, to keep us isolated, to push you into depression, to cause you to react in ways that is going to force you into isolation. That is His job. That's what He does, because He knows. He is clearly aware of the power of support, of togetherness. And so if those of us who are strong and committed to this same mission that I'm on, and I'm not saying all counselors. I believe it's clergy. I believe it's lay counselors. I believe it's families and friends. It is there are people out there who will hear this message and will hear this broadcast, and they will kind of get it. The light bulb is going to come on that they too are going want to be support for somebody. But I say it again, there's a way to do it. There's a proper way to do it. So closing down the day tonight, but there are still a few things that I want to, housekeeping things that I want to do. First of all, I want to talk about in my story here. So as I was saying, victim of domestic violence, and went through all of these things, trying to get support, needing support, but found that there was people who wanted to support me, but they did not know how. But let me tell you, my radio, internet radio audience, my father never wavered. He provided everything that I'm saying. He doesn't he probably don't remember all of this, but I remember a time when he wanted me to come home, and he was like, just come home. Just come home. And I'm like, no, No, I'm not going. He's like, and I'm like, no, I can't bring that problem to your house. This is my problem. I've turned it inward, and I'm dealing with it by myself. And he was like, listen, I'm your family. I'm the one that's going to cover you. Just come home. And I think, I always think about that. And that's the reason why he will always be my support, my safety net. And wherever I go, I'm going to build him up. I'm going to start from a place of strength with him and keep it positive. And we're going to continue to do this thing together because that's the main takeaway I received within my own situation. Before I even thought about becoming a counselor, before I even thought about changing, you know, making sense, trying to make sense of everything that I went through, my father showed me what a real support, what it meant to be a true support for someone else, to have that unconditional regard, to be able to empathize, and to be able to stay congruent, stay congruent within your own self so that transference does not occur. Know yourself. Be honest with yourself. Know when you, it's a boundary issue for you as well as that other person. So that you don't make the mistake of taking yourself into the helping relationship. And last but not least, I just want to remind everybody that we're all on a mission. This is not just my mission. This is a mission for every one of us who are living. We are so tired of waking up or even coming home hearing about something terrible that has happened to an innocent person in our communities, in our cities, in our states, and in our country. You know, we can't do anything about the people that's over on the other side of the world.
Can do something about
But we can do something about the people that live around the corner from us. We can do something about the people that live in our home and the people that we come across every day. And sometimes it just starts with a smile.
That's all. That's right.
That's right.
It starts with that positive energy that you bring to the table. And it starts with you knowing yourself.
Knowing yourself. That's
starting with you. Mm-hmm. As my father was talking about the LGBT community, the scripture, and I'm probably going to say it wrong, but the passage came to me. Why? How will you take a splinter out of my eye mm-hmm. when you have a plank in your
yeah,
you know, we have to take care of ourselves.
Yes.
It starts with us.
You
are not going to be able to help mm-hmm. someone until you do the work on yourself.
Right.
And even though you wake up every morning totally motivated, thinking, I'm going to go out here, I'm going to take the world by his horns,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to make life happen.
Right.
And as soon as you take your first breath, life happens.
Yes.
And then you find yourself back into a debilitating situation where you then are emotionally challenged. And still you try. But you can't do it. I'm sorry. You can't go out and help somebody when you're broken.
No, you can't.
I'm so sorry.
No, you can't.
You can't do it. If you're broken, get some help.
Yes.
That's what this is all about. That's what this broadcast, that's what our church ministry, that's what my counseling service is all about. It's creating access
mm-hmm.
for those people who need help, who just need support.
Right.
Who need to know somebody is there to listen.
And
so, reach out. Don't go inward. Do not allow the things that happen to us in life to turn our anger inward.
Mm-hmm.
And then we become depressed, and then we ain't no good for nobody.
Yes.
As my dad always say, we have a choice.
Yes.
You have a choice. Were you about to say something?
I was about to say, you can turn yourself around by just confessing to yourself, I can. I can do better. I can overcome. It's the language that you establish within your own heart and mind. I can't. I don't want to until this has become your lifestyle. You can reverse it with being positive if you keep on saying it long enough.
Yeah.
Because you are worth more than what you are denying yourself of. So just start looking at yourself and putting some worthiness to who you are.
Yeah.
And make yourself feel good. And seek friends that believe you can.
Oh, yeah.
And make a good life for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was so good. Because when you said that, I thought about, friends. I tell you, sometimes our friends have good intentions and sometimes they don't.
Well, that's not a good friend to get to.
That ain't a good friend to be around.
Somebody that's going to encourage your thinking and how you think about yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Pick your friends wisely.
Right.
Make sure that your friends are on board with you.
Right.
They line up with you.
Right.
If you find yourself in a position with people who always have something negative to say about you,
mm-hmm.
baby, pick up your marbles and go play somewhere else.
Yes.
You do not have to be there.
And know that to change yourself, it's going to change somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So with that combination of your ideal and your mentality about your life is going to keep you conscious about your environment. So you are helping somebody else just as well as you are helping yourself.
Yeah, so, I think that's important when we're talking about friendship. I still have a few minutes here. I think it's important when we're talking about friendships. We talked a lot about families here.
Yes.
But all of this also applies to friends.
Right.
Because I think our friends want to be helpful as well.
Yes.
Their intention is to be helpful, mm-hmm. but they too really, and we, you know what, we train people how to treat us.
Right, right.
We teach people how to treat
yes,
us.
Yes.
We first teach them how to treat us mm-hmm. by the way we treat ourselves.
Yes, yes.
If you don't care about yourself, nobody else don't care about you.
That's true. Not to that extent.
Not to that extent. I'm sorry. Romeo is not going to ride in on a white horse.
No.
And save you.
No.
If you haven't taken care of you.
Right.
You know, even the story of Cinderella.
Yeah.
Cinderella was scrubbing the floors and she wished she could go to the ball.
Yeah, yeah.
And they had to come in and take care of Cinderella first.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
For Cinderella to go out
right.
to meet somebody
yeah.
that's going to come and take care of her.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Take care of yourself first.
Yeah.
We're going to do a show on self-care one day.
All right.
I think that's a good one that we can do. But, yeah, first take care of yourself.
Yes.
Because people, you know, they can't, I tell you, they can dump a lot of stuff on you.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to have some witness to you,
mm-hmm.
So you won't allow yourself to be overloaded.
Yeah.
Sometimes people depend on what someone else dumped in them to help them overcome. But that's not the best idea unless you got something in you to support what mm-hmm. they're dumping on you that will help you. But you find ways and means to know that you are better than having to succumb to your depression, to your anxiety, your frustration.
Mm-hmm.
Know that there's a way that I can delete mm-hmm. that and move on in life, because mm-hmm. that's something that's going to shift you down,
mm-hmm.
stop you in your track, and make it seem like that you can't.
My dad's hitting the table. Okay, so the last part, support. You know, in the end of my story, I found support. I found support in my dad,
mm-hmm.
and then I found a great church home at that particular time. It was a church home with my family, and some of my family members went to this church. And this was the first time when I went to this church, and even then my ex-husband followed me to this church, and he wanted to join the church. And the pastor took both of us in his office, and for the very first time, a pastor was there to protect me. He told my ex-husband, he says, now, she came and joined the church, and so I'm responsible for her. You're going to have to find another church. He told him, you're going to have to go find another church. To go to. And he even gave him some suggestions and said, I have a few other churches that you can join and make sure that there's somebody there to take care of you.
Yeah.
But she is my responsibility.
Right, that's good.
We are going to support her.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're going to help you get support somewhere else.
Yeah.
And I thought that was the most supportive and positive thing
mm-hmm.
that anyone could have done in my time of need.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, that pastor is deceased now, but I will never forget that because at a time when I needed the proper kind of support. Now, before that, I would go places and I would talk to pastors about it because, you know, as a church girl, a preacher's daughter, PK, you know, I wanted to do things, even though I got myself in this position, I wanted to do things that I thought was spiritually correct.
Right.
And so I would go to the pastors and they always say, you got to stay with your husband. Well, that was their stuff. That wasn't mine.
Right. Right.
That was their belief. That was their stuff.
Yeah.
That was their transparency.
Yes.
And so, for the first time, this pastor saw me and did something that was simply unconditional. empathetic mm-hmm. without any of his own desires intact. Mm-hmm. Now, most pastors, they want that extra member because they think they're going to pay some tithes.
Right.
You know, literally they know he wasn't going to pay no tithes.
Yeah.
But they thought that they was going to pay some tithes.
Yeah.
Or they thought that if they could keep their family intact at that church, then somehow we were going to stay at that church. But unselfishly, this pastor said, no, I'm going to send you over there. You can go to church over here. I'm not going to give you the right hand of fellowship over here because I have to, this is the one that I'm going to take care of. Now, you know, again, that's a little controversial, but I needed a support system.
Yeah.
I needed a body of believers to pray with me and to support me as I went through that, and God provided that specific kind of support to help me come through that. It was because of that church that I was able to walk away from that very bad situation, and I will forever be thankful for that. And that's the reason why to this day I cannot imagine counseling someone without bringing a faith-based a component into the counseling setting because it was so impactful for me. I know I just broke my own rule and did a little transference, but I just think that the church provides a great level of support for people when it's done properly. When it's done properly. As I mentioned last week, the church is full of hurting people, and hurting people hurt people. But they're there to learn. They're there because they want to do better. That community is definitely the community that wakes up every morning with the idea that their purpose in life is to shine the light of Jesus Christ onto someone. But we got to teach them how, we got to learn how to do it. We got to learn how to do it. You know, we can't continue to go out doing it the old way because it's hurting. It's not helping. And so, as I end my show, I want to do a little recap here, as I always, so we can make sure we get all this. And we talk a lot during the show, and it sounds, seems a little scattered, but it all comes together. And that is, we are a support to one another, and support is necessary. Support is something that God created. He created that within us. It is a necessary component of our biological tendencies. We needed to breathe. We needed to, in order to enjoy the quality, a good quality of life. And so our lives would not be the same. It can't be the same. It actually will be debilitating without support. And secondly, there are good ways to support someone and there are bad ways to support someone. It's great when we can have someone in our life that we can talk to with, and they can just listen to us without bringing in their own stuff, without needing us to carry their emotions along with with our own emotions. It is great when we can have someone who brings support to us, and we don't have to live up to some standard that they have set and always and be this person that we're not even capable of being in the time of our despair. It is also wonderful when, as a supporter, as a helping person, we are there to support people in a very constructive and healthy way. And those, it's really simple. We support people with unconditional regard. Unconditional regard does not mean, absolutely does not mean that I'm going to do what you do. It doesn't mean that I have to like everything that you do. It simply means I respect your decision to do it. I respect your own autonomy, your own belief, your own decision to do it. And if you choose to do things that are self-destructive, I am not going to be the one who's going to judge you for doing that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to sit with you, I'm going to hold your hand, I'm going to walk with you, and as soon as that light bulb come on and you decide I want to do something better, then I'm going to be right there to support you doing better. Don't mean that I'm going to go to the crack house with you. It doesn't mean that I'm going to go over here and do and take you to your boyfriend's house when you have a husband at home. Doesn't mean any of that. It simply means that I am not going to judge you. I'm going to be there as a support, because when the time comes, because the day will come, when you have to face the consequences of your actions,
yes.
I'm going to be the one that comes in and sit with you as you walk through it, so that I can be that support to guide you to the place that's going to bring you into wholeness. That's what proper support looks like. It also includes empathy, fully understanding and becoming aware of another person's problem, fully becoming aware of how that person is feeling, what is causing that person to get through it, how are they coping, is the coping mechanism something that's helping them, or is it something that's hurting them? And if it is something that's hurting them, just put one foot in their shoes for just a minute, long enough to feel their pain, so that you can get a full experience of what they're going through. Because, you know what? You can't help somebody to get somewhere where you ain't been.
Right.
I'm sorry. You have to know what it takes to get to the other side before you can take somebody to the other side. So, empathy, last but not least, is congruence. Having the ability to look within yourself and the total awareness of your own responses, your own emotions, your own triggers. Knowing for sure that you are not taking that and putting it on to someone else.
Yes.
Because that doesn't help. That hurts. Nobody can walk in someone else's life. You can't live somebody else's life.
Yes.
You're not God, so you don't know how God is using that situation to get that person to understand whatever it is that God wants them to understand.
Yes.
So our job as helpers is to, again, to be there to support that person, to listen to the voice of God, so that we can then be the voice that brings that person through. I hope this has been a good evening for you all, and I thank you for listening. I've enjoyed this show. As you see, I'm very passionate about this. This is my pain to passion. This is what I do and why I do it.
Yes.
Because I know how support has it changes lives. It makes things better. And so if you're ever needing someone to talk to, if you're having a bad day, you want to get it off your chest, hey, I'm here. Before we get off the air, I want to let my father pray, because I think it is appropriate.
Yes.
And it is something that we do every Thursday night. And we want to pray that God covers you and that he provide the type of support that you need so that you can get past your issue.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. You better call Kim. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, as we come to the close of this hour that you have provided for us to minister your word and your Christian faith lifestyle, we ask you, Lord, to take these words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts and just minister to those that are listening in this audience. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And as I go off the air, I just want you to remember that you better call Kim.
Hi, this is Kim. Catch my show, You Better Call Kim, every Thursday night from 9 p.m. till 11. This show is an entertaining, lighthearted discussion about mental health issues we face every day. So if you're stressed, need a listening ear, I just want to get it off your chest. Remember, you better call Kim. And don't forget to tune in every Thursday night from 9 p.m. until 11 in the red screen with your girl, Kim.
On FishbowlRadioNetwork.com. Jump in.
it's time to advertise your company, business, product, service. ThinkFishBowlRadio.com. The largest personality-driven internet radio network in the world, operating 24/7 with over 100 diverse shows, music, talk, news, inspirational, sports, entertainment, 750,000 listeners a month and growing, local, national, global. Now is the time to take advantage of the growth potential of internet radio advertising with FishBowlRadio.com. Call 817-633-4880 and jump in.
Customize your gear today with Ochuk. Ochuk provides top-of-the-line printing for all of your merchandising needs. From custom Chuck Taylors to t-shirts, sweatshirts, and even lanyards, they customize it all. Visit them at the Parks Mall in Arlington, Texas, or at www.ochuk.com. That's O-H-C-H-U-C-K.com. Create a custom experience today with Ochuk. You think it, they'll ink it.
Introducing the Ferrero Rocher cupcakes loaded with luscious layers of sweet goodness coated over dark chocolate cake made with the freshest and finest ingredients to make you say, holy cupcake. Voted top three cupcakes in the DFW area. Wondering where you can get these sweet chocolatey goodies? Where else but Le Cupcake and Treats? Call us now, 682-999-8276. That's 682-999-8276. Or visit us on our Facebook and Instagram at Le Cupcake and Treats, where we make life sweeter.
Catering and Event Productions is a full-service catering and special events company that delivers a fresh, fun, and interactive experience. Led by Fernando J. Asensio, Hoss Catering and Event Production combines a superb taste, unique presentation, and interactive services to create unforgettable events and memorable experiences. Their passion for food and avant-garde thinking sets them apart and has won them awards and recognition, along with the trust of their clients, from which they cater to on a regular basis. Visit www.hosscatering.com today. Hoss Catering and Event Production creates the best experience for all your catering needs.
We all know a picture says a thousand words, but what's a picture without a frame? Art Frame Wholesale has what you need in order to bring your pictures to life. With over 1,000 frames to choose from, you are sure to find the perfect frame for any of your photographic needs. You can even customize your own frame.